Thank you all for being here today and putting up with me again. I really do enjoy. I was telling him, I said, you know, the privilege about coming here once a year, I can see people growing and changing. The young lady I told him who was leading worship, I said, she don't even look the same. I don't know her name, but I said, she don't even look the same, man. I said, there's something changing about her, you know, just, and we were just sitting on the front row talking, and I'm looking at the guys, I'm going, ah, they still look the same. But anyway, man, you know, this, but I'm going, man, all these young people, they're just, you know, all of you guys, you're changing, and it just blesses my heart to come here and just, you know, we live in a crazy world.
Yeah.
No, this world is crazy.
Yeah.
And so to come here and to see, I told my wife, oh, they got the young, they got the middle, they got the old, they got everybody in this house. Different ethnic groups and everything. It just blesses my heart to be here. So thank you for allowing my wife, Linda, and I to be here with you.
Amen.
I want to share with you some thoughts out of John chapter 12. Mm-hmm. And as you're turning there in your iPad, your Bible, whatever it is that you read the Bible out of, mm-hmm. I want to tell you four questions that you ought to write down. And every time your pastors stand before you or someone is standing before you or you're at some place and the word of God is being preached, you ought to ask yourself these four questions. Number one, what is the Holy Spirit saying to me today? If the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to you today through the worship, through the giving, through the preaching of the word, through the closing prayer, you just wasted your time.
Yeah.
But you ought to have the question on your mind. What is the Holy Spirit saying to me, to you? Not to your husband, not to your wife, not to your children. What is he saying to you today? Here's the second question. What does this scripture that is being talked about tell me about Jesus or myself?
Amen.
Years ago, a young lady in our church, she wasn't even walking with Jesus. And I asked the question, so what's the difference between reading the Bible and reading the magazine or newspaper, what have you? And she just raised her hand. I'm thinking, what is she going to say? Uh-huh. I said, yeah. She said, well, you know, I think that when you read the newspaper, it tells you what's going on out there. She said, but when you read the Bible, it tells you what's going on in here. Mm-hmm. She wasn't even a Christian. I go, would you tell me that again?
Wow.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
That's the reason a lot of people don't want to read the Bible.
Yeah.
Why do you think the disciples, when Jesus, he was at the well and he was tired, and all of a sudden, all 12 men go to town to get lunch. You know why? Because I think one of them started thinking, you know, last time I hung out with Jesus, we were talking about the weather, and he started telling me about my heart. Hey, I'm going to get the lunch.
Yeah.
Another guy said, oh, you think you slick? Oh, no, I've been through this one. I'm going with you. Next thing, 12 grown men go to town to get lunch. They leave Jesus at a well by himself. Why? Because they don't want to spend, ain't nothing changed. People don't want to spend time with Jesus because if you spend time with Jesus, he's going to tell you what's going on in you. Not your wife, not your kids, not the boss that mistreats you. He's going to tell you what's wrong with you. So you ought to ask yourself, what does this scripture tell me about Jesus or myself? Here's the third question. If this passage is true, how will I apply it? If you don't apply what the preacher was telling you, then you just wasted your time. I can't tell you as a pastor how many Monday mornings somebody would come to my office and have a problem that we talked about on Sunday, and I would look at them and say, were you in church yesterday?
Yeah.
But let me finish. No. Were you in church yesterday? Yeah. What did I say? They will tell you here's the problem. They didn't allow the Spirit of God to help them. Because,
yeah.
See, you and I hear words. You can even take good, you can take copious notes, but you still, it takes a Holy Spirit to hear what God is saying to you.
Yeah.
What if this passage is true, how will I apply? Here's the last question. Who will I share with what I learned today?
That's good.
That's an easy one. You know, I'm looking around. I was laying in my bed this morning. And I thought, if I was attending of this church, and I went somewhere on Monday morning, and somebody said, do you have a good weekend? Because everybody, you know somebody going to ask you, how was your weekend? It's great. Some people are afraid to tell them in church.
Yeah.
How was your weekend? It's great. What did you do? You ain't going to believe it. Believe what? I just hang out with a bunch of people, and we talk about life. Now, that's a good lead-in to what you folk do here every week. We talk about life. Really? What do you mean talk about life? Well, we kind of have a coach. See, you gotta use the language of the world, folks. I went to church and my pastor, hey, he got filled. He told, what in the? That conversation just got over, okay? And we have this coach, kind of like a Tony Robbins, only better.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What is he talking about? He just talks about how we can live life and enjoy God and our families all together. What did he talk about yesterday? Now, you can't fill that gap up. But if you're going in with that religious talk, see, some folk don't want to talk about it because they think, I don't know what to say. You do know what to say.
Yeah.
Just talk about it in a way that the people you hang out with can understand it.
Yeah.
They don't understand our Christian language.
Yeah.
Tell you about some people that all they want to see is Jesus.
Yeah.
They don't want to see anything else.
Yeah.
So listen to these words out of John chapter 12, beginning of verse 20. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew, Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it.
Amen.
While the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me.
Amen.
So, Lord, take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, and may they be acceptable in thy sight, and may your people hear what it is you want to say to us today. In Jesus' name. So here's the story. Here's the, kind of like the backdrop. Jesus and his disciples, they arrive at a place called Bethany. This is a community that Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, lived. And they're having a dinner in Jesus' honor. Martha is serving. Her brother Lazarus is reclining at the table with Jesus. And basically, they're just having a good time. It's hard for some people to see Jesus having a good time. All they ever see is the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus with a smile on his face that don't make no kind of sense. When I was a kid, I thought that's who Jesus was. My daddy had the big family Bible in the house, and, you know, that's who Jesus was. And then when I would go in the black community, they had Jesus with an afro and a dashiki on. And a medallion. Gotta have a medallion. And literally, we try to make Jesus into our culture instead of us trying to be like Jesus. So he's at Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and he's kicking back. He's having a good time.
Yeah.
I can picture him laughing.
Yeah.
Mary takes some expensive perfume because Mary was a piece of work. You know, there's some ladies that think they were bad. You need to read about Mary. I mean, you don't just take perfume that's worth a year's salary and break it open and start washing somebody's feet because you just want to do something. Mary still didn't believe that she had been forgiven. Trying to work on this forgiveness thing. Now, you got to be pretty close to somebody to wash their feet and then dry it off with your hair.
Yeah.
The thing I love about her pouring the perfume on Jesus' feet, that when she poured the perfume on Jesus' feet, what she poured on his feet, when she dried it with her hair, some of that smell got on her.
Yeah.
If you get close enough to Jesus and just lay at his feet, whatever is on him, you're going to get some of that.
Amen.
And then Judas, of course, you know, he complains because he's the one who says, man, that's a whole year's worth of money. And she bought the perfume and we could have sold the perfume and fed the poor, which he really didn't care about the poor.
Yeah.
Judas would kind of tip into the, he was the treasurer, and he would just tip into the money bag every now and then. Some people call that stealing. In fact, that is still called stealing. And the person who steals is called a what?
A thief.
And he was a disciple of Jesus. Now, you remember that when some of your friends crossed you. I can't believe they did that to me. But look what he did to Jesus. Are you Jesus? Suck it up and go on with life. Crowds begin to show up, and the religious leaders or the church folk, they get upset. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
I can guarantee the only people who will give this couple problems as pastors are people that know how to do church. That's religious people. They know how to do church because they've been in church all their life, born on the second pew. They know how to do church. But you know what they don't know? They just don't know Jesus. Because Jesus is walking this way one moment, and then he takes a left turn, and then next thing you know, he's over here. And if you're following Jesus, sometimes you can get lost if you start backing away from Jesus. But if you stay close, you'll never get lost. Years ago, my sons and I climbed Saddleback Mountain in Portland. It's between Portland and seaside, this vacation village. And I went there to speak for one of the youth groups, bunch of kids. And so the pastor who was leading the group, he says, would you mind just walking in the back and picking up any of the kids that were tired? And just, you know, I said, sure, I don't mind. You know, I'm a guest speaker. I don't mind. But when the bus stopped, we all got out. There were some kids that just took off. They just took off. Where's the trail? And they took off. Then there were some others who stayed with Henry and the leaders. Then there were the stragglers. Let me tell you what I learned that day from these kids. Three kind of people in every church. There are those that just take off.
Yeah.
They took off. Now, they made it to the church, took off. Then there were those who hung out with the leaders. When he stopped, they stopped. When he walked, they walked. They talked, and they learned from him as they were walking.
Yeah.
Then there were those that stuck behind with me. They complained. They complained. Number one, they were overweight, so they didn't want to walk in the first place. They wanted to go to they were ready to go to the Twinkie factory. Okay, they didn't want to walk. They complained, and finally, I'm the guest speaker. I don't even know these kids. My sons were with me, and they said, because they know their daddy, I can't handle all that negative stuff. You don't make it where I've been by being negative. And finally, I looked at these kids, and I said, I don't care if a bear eat you, kids. I'm gone. I just took off. And there are people like that in churches. They just complain and complain and complain. And Jesus can heal them, but they say, but. And Jesus can give them money, but. They just can't see the bright side. That's religious people.
Yeah.
Religious. So the religious people, Jesus, they're celebrating. Lazarus was dead and stinking. Now he's risen from the, Jesus raises him up, infuses him with life again, and the religious people are mad about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The next day, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Another crowd shows up, throwing palm branches down, everything else. And the religious leaders, they even get more mad.
Yeah.
That was very bad English, but you got the point, didn't you? More mad. I keep talking, y'all going to find out what neighborhood I grew up in. But anyway, they was more mad. And the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Bible says they got so upset. Listen to what they said. They said, look how the whole world has gone after him. That's a lie. But see, religious people, insecure, jealous people always exaggerate, believe, and speak untruths. They do. That's religious people. They do all they can to keep people from being free from the burden of life that can come as an encounter with Jesus. Because, see, they haven't been set free yet. So because they don't know what it's like to be free in Jesus, they can't imagine you being free in Jesus.
Yeah.
So they try to hold you down.
Yeah.
You said, don't you go to church? And you've been going for how many years? That's right. They mean, I've been going to church all my life. All my life. And you want to look at them and what have you learned? And by the way, when you gonna get out the nursery and quit drinking milk and get your, you know, they got some good meat in this book called the Bible if you eat it.
Yeah.
I like the nursery. They'll never say that, but that's where they live.
Yeah.
Been married for 20 years and they still treat their wife the same way, or they're still, the children don't want to be around them. Dog ran away 10 years ago. And all, you know, just, they can't figure this thing out. The whole world has gone after them. That was a lie. It's the same thing that happened, the story in Numbers chapter 13. Moses, he sent the spies out to go check out the land. The Bible says when they came back, they even had a cluster of grapes that was so big. If you've ever been to Israel, and some of you have, you know that they have an emblem. It's just the emblem of Israel. And there's two men with a cluster of grapes that are so big, they're carrying it together.
Yeah.
That's how big the grapes were.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having a grape? Oh, man. So they're looking at the fruit. And they tell them that when they come back, they say the land is flowing with milk and with honey. In fact, look at these grapes. This is just one cluster.
Yeah.
They have grapes that grow on, look like trees. That's how big they are.
Yeah.
They said, but, wait. I don't need to hear anymore.
Yeah.
I want to go Well, the grapes are big grapes.
Yeah.
No, wait. Got something to tell you. The people who live there, they're powerful.
Yeah.
The cities are fortified and they're very large. The land devours those living in it. You just took a tour through it. How do you know what the land does?
I know.
All the people of great size. And listen to this. We seem like grasshoppers to them in our own eyes.
Yeah.
So wait a minute, let me see if I got this right. We seem like grasshoppers to them in our own eyes. And then they said this, and we look the same to them. We not only look like grasshoppers to them through our eyes, but they look through their eyes. We were grasshoppers. By the time they get done, everybody is ready to kill themselves.
Yeah.
They went from the joy of grapes to sour grapes. And we can't go there.
Yeah.
Man, if we go there, they go. See, that's religious people.
Yeah.
I know that God has blessed us with this. We got a boatload of money. We got this. We have this. And God is blessing us like crazy. He's doing healings. He's doing it. But there's always a but. Do you know when someone's talking, you say, I understand. I said, but you just disqualified everything they said.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you really said is, I ain't heard nothing because I've been wanting to tell you this.
Wow.
Yeah, we hear about all this miraculous stuff. And you know what it cost them? 40 years in the desert and everybody under a certain age died.
Yeah.
How do you like that curse on your life? Only because you didn't believe.
Yeah.
Had a missionary come in my office the other day. Some changes going on in their ministry. And the husband, he and I were having a conversation. And the wife, you could tell she was so flustered. And she says, but tell him. And her faith was just. And I try to keep a certain temperature in my office and not by this, but by my atmosphere. I'm not going to let you come in and mess up the atmosphere in my office.
Yeah, that's good.
And finally, I just looked at her and said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. What? You've been in the ministry over 40 plus years. You've seen miracles. You've prayed over people. You've done this and you've done this. And you believe that God can't do this? Shame on you. Her husband just kind of sat there going. And I said these words to her. If God lets you down this time, it'll be the first time and you'll be the first one. You got to, Pastor said, sometimes you got to do like David. You got to tell self, I'm going to encourage you in God. I don't need no help. I don't need no posse. I don't need no worship team. I don't need nothing. I'm going to lift my soul up.
Amen.
Every song we sung this morning, it was about lifting our soul up before God.
Amen.
Let me read this to you again. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we'd like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew told Philip, and in turn, he told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies. You know what it takes to have a good marriage? It's the same thing it takes to be a good follower of Jesus. It's just one thing. It's very simple.
Yeah.
You just got to be willing to die.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
yourself.
Yeah.
And some of us die like a Western. You get shot in scene one, and at the last scene of the cowboy movie, you still trying to hold on to that last. Yeah, I'm telling you. And that's how we come to Jesus. We never learn that if you really want the joy of the Lord, you just got to give it up.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to look at your honey, I'm sorry, I blew it. And you got to anticipate. Yeah, you sure did blow it. You just got to suck it up, man. You just got to suck it. Ladies, you got to suck it up. I remember one time I'm a youth pastor, and I'm preaching, and my son, I gotten on his case before we came to church past pastors, and I'm sitting there preaching to these kids about Jesus, what he wants to do in their life. My son is sitting there like this. And you, how you going to preach like that in your son? So I ask him in front of all these kids, son, Daddy Blue, would you forgive me? And here's my humble son. I'll let you know. I wanted to say your mama, but you know, I'm married with mama. I said, yeah, okay. And he just kind of looked. I said, well, you are. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains one single seed. But if it dies, It produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who holds hates his life in this world, will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be, and my Father will honor the one who serves me. You see, in a few minutes, we have left. It only takes a few minutes. You can leave what the Spirit is trying to say. If you're not focused on Jesus, you can forget. Spirit, what happened here? So now watch this. These Greeks, non-believing Jews, they come to Jesus, to the disciples, and they say, and these are the ones who have followed Jesus, and they go up, the Greeks went up to worship, and maybe while they were there, they heard about, who is this guy Jesus? Who is he?
Yeah.
So they ask the question. They see these guys. Now watch this. They see these men. They see these women. Yeah. They see these boys and girls, and they go up to them, and they say, hey, we just want to see Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's all. What does he look like anyhow? We keep hearing everywhere we go, just about Jesus, Jesus. We just want to see Jesus. They did not go to the feast to worship. They went looking for Jesus.
Yeah.
You and I hang around with people every day. They're looking for something. I'm going to tell you what they're looking for. They're looking for Jesus.
Yeah.
What they get is religion.
Wow.
We get politicians that come on and say they're evangelical and can't even spell the word. You know, every 4 years, every politician goes at least to the church. Yeah. Biggest church they can find. And if they need a black vote, they go to the black church. If they need an Asian vote, they go to the Asian church. If they need a Hispanic church, they go to the Hispanic church. Viva la raza! Hey! They learn some sort of saying that fits in.
Yeah.
I'm listening to one the other day. I know this! Mm-hmm. What did that person say, honey? The joy of the Lord! And they didn't say anything else. Oh, I said, that's probably all they knew. Somebody should have said, and is what? Is what? The joy of the Lord is, help me, Ada, help me. And we get sucked up in it. It's like the music people. They say something about Jesus. She's a Christian. He's a Christian. Oh, they love the Lord. They got all kind of crazy stuff going on in their lives. They love the Lord. I heard them say Jesus in a song. What they say in the other songs?
Come on
down. I got a cousin. Some of you. This is not a good time to confess. You, when I mention my cousin's rap name, it's not a good opportunity. For you. I know his music. Don't do that. Don't do that. But his rap name is AP9, and his music is. He's been shot up in Oakland and Vegas. I mean, he's just. But his name is Kenneth Huddleston. It's my first cousin. So I went to Vegas last year. Now, when I go to see him, I normally see him in the broad daylight. Under lights. Hey, cuz, he's got a little mansion down there on Lake Mead somewhere. Hey, want you to stay at my house? No, that's okay. I'm going to stay in the hotel. Well, I ain't going to charge you. It's okay. Well, we're going to go down there and eat. You want to ride with me? No, I'm going to follow you. One time he pulls up at the family house. He got a Bentley and all that. You want to ride with me? No, I'm cool. Well, we going to the same place. I'm going to follow you. You ain't got a car. I'm going to walk. I don't know who's looking for him. I go to Vegas. I said, man, going to a men's conference. He said, let's have dinner. I said, all right, I'll meet you somewhere. We meet at the Palm. I don't know nothing about these places. Trip at the Palm. Well, I find out later, man, this is an interesting place. It's a nice place, but it's an interesting place. Here's a clue. My cousin knew everybody. That's a clue what kind of place this is, okay? Get inside. Then this lady shows up. Beautiful blonde-haired lady, and I don't know who she is. I ain't speaking to her. Start snuggling up to my cousin. I said, oh, Jesus. So she going to join us. Okay. So we go to have lunch, dinner, and he everybody know him. Mad because he ain't sitting at their table because he give them all his tips. And so I'm sitting here, and this lady's sitting here, and he's sitting here, and we're talking, and I'm nervous, and I don't know who she is, and they plan, and I'm going, you know, hi. What am I doing here? And he says, I got to go to the bathroom. And I wanted to do like the ladies. I need to go, too. I'm going, too. But like an idiot, I'm in love. I sit at the table. And then all of a sudden, I go, I'm saying to myself, have you lost your mind? You and Long Island are sending people with this blonde-haired girl dressed in this red dress, scantily dressed. Man, what if somebody... And now I'm nervous. I said, hey, what's your name? I need to talk. And where are you from? You got a mom and daddy? Well, y'all, I think she got here. You got a mom and daddy? Got any brothers and sisters? And then I asked a lady in Las Vegas, the dumbest question you can ask any lady in Las Vegas, what is it? I said, what do you do? Now, she's hanging out with my cousin who's paying all her bills and bought her a car. And I asked her, Reverend Huddleston, what do you do? She just looks at me like, you, well, I would like to be a waitress because I heard they get good tips. And I'm going, how many fingers do you see? Anybody, you know. Cousin comes back. I say, hey, cousin, thanks for the dinner. It was great. I'm getting out of here. No, I want you to go up. To go to the top of the palms, man, there's this, it's a cement slab, it's about this big, and you can, from the top, you can look all the way down to the street. I said, I'm a man of faith. I'm going to take your word for it. I got to get out of here, man. No, come on, cuz, come on. All right, got to go. I ain't never gotten in an elevator and had to get patted down first. I said, what's all this, man? Why you got to pat me? Okay, man, it's cool, I'm cool. Get in the elevator, we go up. When I get upstairs, I walk off, there's this old guy. Now, I ain't never been in a club in my life. When I got locked up, I was 17. When I got out, I was 22. I was saved. I ain't never been in a club. So I walk in, man, they doing the funky butt and everything. I mean, they just, and there's this old guy. He got his shirt on, but not here, you know. He old. God knows, I wanted to ask him, sir, can I ask you a question? If one of these young ladies went home with you tonight, what you going to do? Tell me what you're going to do. Tuck her in bed? You sure ain't got enough of them blue pills for her, boy. My God. I don't say nothing. I go out. Look down. I see it, cuz. I'm out of here. I said, I know my way. Oh, no. He said, oh, no. I'm going to walk you out. He walks me out. Get downstairs. He hugs me. Say, hey, cuz, thanks for, man, taking a little peek into my world. I said, all right. I wake up the next morning. I get on my knees, and I start praying for men. That ain't my world. I don't know what men who are not walking with Jesus, especially in Las Vegas, and those that are walking, I have to go through. And I just get on my knees. I start weeping and praying for them. And I go to the conference, and I tell these guys what I just experienced. And I say, I just want to pray for you. Then I call my cousin and say, hey, man, why don't you come to my men's conference? Just had a men's conference in Sacramento. Had 2,000-plus guys show up. He said, I'll be there.
Amen.
I said, you will? He said, yeah. This was last year, so okay. Got closer. Some nice boots you got on there, brother. Yes, sir. Let me get a little closer there. I'm gonna keep talking. I like cowboy boots. My daddy was raised, I'm a second generation Okie. My man, them some nice. What size are them boots? Man, that's something out the swamps, brother. I can tell, man. That's something not. Honey, you can see that, man? Jesus' boots before you leave. You know, God might speak to you about your husband. Look at this. So he finally shows up. He shows up Friday night in Sacramento, and he's got a bodyguard with him. But he don't even know. I got six men in the room that are sheriffs who are packing. I said, don't y'all let nothing happen to my cousin, man. Just y'all keep an eye on him. Got a seat for him down front. Sitting by somebody else. He comes in and got his hat on and stuff, you know. The preacher from Chicago, he preaches. And he said, I want some of you guys over 50 to get on the platform. We're on the platform. He said, all you under 50, come out here and stand in front. Well, my cousin, he stands out front. But here's the funny part. When my cousin comes to the altar, he's standing like this. Guess who's behind him? No, his security. He didn't want to come to nobody's altar. But he getting paid to look out for he's standing right behind him. Afterwards, we're in the green room, we're talking. His security looks at me and says, man, you had me in church! In church, man! I said, well, how was it? He said, it was cool, man. It was cool. It was cool. And then my cousin, we did this little interview. And he said, you know, I'm just out here in the world. Telling us to the camera. Great interview. Because he just was honest. Yeah. So he said, cuz, I'm just out here in the world, man. And you're talking to the camera. And he says, you know, I ain't never been in a room with so many men that wasn't violence. He says, you know, it reminded me, and he's doing, it just reminded me, and I look at him on camera, I said, it reminded you of how my uncle raised you, didn't it? And he goes, yeah. He said, I got to get my life right, you know, I got to, and we end the interview, and we, you know, we hug, and I love him, I really do, he's my, I don't want to see none of my relatives go to hell.
Amen.
Yes. And y'all pray for him.
Amen.
AP9, Kenneth Huddleston. But how does it come together? He just wants to see Jesus.
Amen.
And he texts me. And I don't have my phone. I would read it to you. He says, thank you for showing me. Listen to these words. That a life can change if they want it to. And in that moment, I realized that night in Las Vegas was a test. He was probably around the corner looking at him because he kept telling his girl, you don't know my cousin. This ain't him. Now, you don't know him. This ain't. I said, cuz, this is me, man. This ain't him. You don't know him. You don't know my. I said, cuz, this is me. And he shows up because see, people just want to see Jesus. These Greeks show up. They want to see Jesus. They come to Philip. Because they're seekers, and they feel like Jesus can get them to Jesus because somebody told them, see those guys right there? I think they hang out with Jesus. So go ask them, and they can get you to Jesus. They had a request that they'd either seen them hanging out with Jesus, been told they'd been with Jesus. And, you know, people that are searching, they don't know what Jesus looks like. They only see Jesus in us. That's why, you know, when you do something or you say something, hey, man, you know what? Hey, I ain't perfect. You know, you Christians, ain't, I used to see a bumper sticker, Christians aren't perfect, they're forgiven. That's an excuse. Let me tell you something. Your one bad day could be that person's only good day.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just got to suck it up and say, you know what? I need to ask you, that was not right. I can't tell you how many times I've had to do that. In public and in private to my children. To my wife. See, I learned a long time ago, whatever I'm like in public, if it don't happen at the house, it ain't real.
Yeah.
It ain't real, man.
Yeah.
It just ain't real.
Yeah.
Their request, they want to see Jesus. Philip tells Andrew, they take him to Jesus. And Jesus' interesting reply is almost like he didn't even hear what they said.
Yeah.
Hey, Jesus, we got some guys that didn't want to see you. And he says, and he starts talking about Easter. The hour has come. He knew what time it was for his life. Here's my question to you. Do you know what time it is for your life? No, really. Do you know what time it is in your life? As a wife, as a single person, as a father, as a child. What time is it in your world? Well, Dr. Sam, what do you mean by that? What's going on in your life? Where are you headed? Do you have a plan? What do you want your legacy to be? And when you die, what do you want people to say at your funeral? I know what they're going to say at mine. If I had an hour to write down the names of the people that's going to be at my funeral and say something, I said, okay, this person, if they're there, this is what they're going to say. I live my life for my funeral every day.
Amen.
I already know I'm dying. I know I'm going to die. And you know what? I just want to be sitting up on a cloud looking down saying, my God, man, look at these folks, man. Lord, it was you and me, and I didn't even realize all of this. See, I'm living to leave a legacy. I'm not living for them to dig a hole and say, well, just want another black guy we can get rid of. Dump him in the ground. Let's get out of here. No. I want them to say, man, that dude loved his wife. I don't want a guy to stand up and say, well, how do you know? Because one day I was at a church conference when he was a youth pastor, and I didn't know if he was saved or not, but I said something about his wife. He told me he would throw me over the balcony. And then he said, of course, in Jesus' name, but I'm still going to throw you over the balcony. I know what my children would say. I know what my grandchildren will say about Papa.
Yeah.
I'm living my life to leave behind such a legacy that if Jesus tarries, generations of my family going to say, I don't know about this Huddleston and that Huddleston, but let me tell you about Sam Huddleston. He was a rascal, but when Jesus got a hold of his life at 19 years of old, there's a significant change in him. None of the cousins wanted to be around him, but when he got changed, everybody wanted to be around him. Every time somebody died, they wanted him to come to the funerals. There was something that happened in his life. That's how I'm living my life. Jesus, I'm going to tell you the truth. And he starts talking about if a kernel of wheat falls. And they're probably looking at him going, what has wheat got to do with the Greeks? They just want to talk to you, man. Why every time we ask you a question, you got to go off in a story? Can't you just say, I want to see him, or no, I don't want to see him? It's my dad, we were young, he'd get ready to punish us. He said, I want to tell you a story. We go, Dad, just punish us, okay? Just punish. Because I'm 62, and I still remember the stories.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, let me tell you a story. Jesus said, well, let me tell you a story. Remains of seed, just them. If they die, more people. And Jesus tells them, or he tells us, the cost. This is what he's telling them. They want to see me? Because they don't get it. I get it. This is what Jesus is saying. They want to see me? You say these Greeks want to see me? Yeah, they want to see you. I think they want to hang out with you like we hang out with you. And Jesus says, let me tell you what it's going to cost them. He said, number one, you got to hate your life. That turns most people off. You've got to hate. What do you mean I got to hate my life? I don't hate my life. No. You got to hate this, the way that we do things to get over on somebody. Got to hate that. And all of us has that in us. I don't care if you've been saved a day or 100 years. All of us, it's a battle that we have on the inside of us. That's why we come to church. That's why we hang out with people like this. That's why we listen to the music that we listen to. So it can help us to live the life where we have to die. I don't like dying to myself. Here's the problem that me and God have. We both have a plan for my life. And your question to me is, how's that working for you, Doc? I know what I want to do with my life. I kind of got a grip on this thing. I've been following Jesus for a while. I know the left, right from the left, and I know what the dangers and all that. Jesus, can I just lead a little bit? I hear him saying, boy, if I let you lead a half a nanosecond, you're going to be right back where you came from.
Yeah.
You got to learn how to, and what does that mean to you? See, my dying to myself is not what it means to you. Because we got different paths.
Yeah.
So Jesus might tell me, you can't drink Cokes. You know what happens to religious people when Jesus tells them you can't drink Cokes? All of a sudden, they start a whole ministry. You can't drink Coke ministries unto God. You can't drink Cokes. I saw you. I'm in Tanzania. They pass a law in the church that you can't drink, it's an energy drink.
Red Bull!
Why? Because somebody drank a Red Bull and got to, woohoo, I'm feeling pretty good. And they feel guilty and then they want to make a law. Now there's a law in the church of Tanzania, you can't drink Red Bull. Well, I'm going to drink a Red Bull because Jesus did nothing to me. Religious people.
Yeah.
You want to see me? You want to see Jesus? You got to die to yourself. He says, and they must be willing to follow me. Where? See, that's the problem. That's the problem. You don't know where Jesus is going to take you. If I had known, God, if I had known that he was going to leave me where I'm at, I would have said, you know what, Jesus? Is there a shortcut? How about another path? I come to know Jesus in prison. Now I'm the number two guy in charge of a Northern California, Nevada district of the Assemblies of God. We got 450 churches, over 1,400 ministers, and the number two guy is the next felon. And I sit in meetings. And when I first got in, they would say, well, Dr. Sam, what do you think about this? I said, I'm going to tell you what you need. You need to build a room in the back, soundproof, and let me take that guy out there. I can fix him. I said, because it's apparent. All this praying y'all doing ain't working. Y'all talking about the Holy Spirit? No, y'all need to go old school. They need the Holy Ghost. Because that spirit thing ain't working. And God sat there and he looked. One of the leaders been there a long time. He kind of looked at me, and I could read his mind. He was saying, oh, God, don't let nothing happen to the superintendent. This guy going to take, oh, God, help us. After a few years, see, this is what you call leadership. After a few years, another issue, looked at the same guy. He looks at me and goes, Dr. Sam, you almost got me convinced to give the first 500 donation to that room you keep talking about. Sometimes religious people need help. You got to be willing to hate this life. You must be willing to follow him wherever he's going to lead you.
Yeah.
No, really. You read in the Bible some of the most. Look at Moses. How do you like to be Joseph? We like the last part of Joseph's life. What about the first part? Got to follow him. He says, if you do that, if you're willing to die, you're willing to follow me, you'll receive eternal life. You'll be with me and my Father going to honor you.
Yeah.
So here's the closing. So what does it mean to be close to Jesus? Mm-hmm. When I was a teenager, everything was about me. Mm-hmm. Everything. I was a child. I thought like a child. It's all about me. Where I dressed, what I did, where I went, who I hung out with. Even as a new believer, it was still about me. Because I would get to the scriptures about death, and I'd just go, oh, that's that death thing. That's for Linda. Let me just jump over here. And one day I realized that my marriage, my education, my job, my wherever go, it wasn't about me. That's what your pastor said earlier. You think that's your money? Lose your job. Who are you going to call on to help you get another one? Who are you going to call on? Oh, I see. Now you want Jesus to help you.
Yeah.
Pastor, when I was a youth pastor, sometimes my youth would say, Pastor, would you pray for me to get a job? I said, are you going to tithe? No, I'm not going to tithe. I said, then get your own job. I did. They said, no, Pastor Sam, pray. I said, why would I pray for you to get a job and you're not going to even give God 10%? You're on your own, baby. I ain't going to pray for you to get a job. You're going to go out and spend your money on your... You don't give God nothing? Not even a Sunday morning tip? I'm going to leave that alone. But anyhow, we have to learn. It's not mine.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you. It's hard for me to give sometimes. So you know who handles the money in my household? My wife. Because sometimes God will say, you need to give this much money. I thought I was Chantal. I may not know the voice of God, but I do know the voice of the devil. I ain't giving that kind of money. I need you to empty out that savings account. Hey, you and who else? I ain't doing that. And then my wife would say, honey, we need to give this to God. Honey, I'm the head of this house. We ain't giving that money. I'm telling you right now, God don't need that. He got gold for asphalt. And, you know, the city is lit up. They got doors made of emeralds. And he won't. No, the preacher don't. No, I ain't. And I'm the pastor. But we always end up giving it. You know why? Because she's, well, man of God, you pray. Don't call me that man. Don't put me that man of God stuff. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear that. Well, then we write the check. We give it. God blesses us. And then I come back in with my humility. Aren't you glad I gave that money? So how is it that on day-to-day living, I can learn to die to myself? Let me just leave these with you. Number one, sometimes we just need to speak less. Just speak less. Just speak less. And some of us, you know what? Just shoot me, okay? Because that ain't happening. Just shoot me. My mama was like that. My daddy, everybody in my family. Just shoot me. Sometimes Jesus might tell you, you can talk less.
Yeah.
If he tells you to talk less, then the second thing he's telling you is you need to listen more.
Mm.
I've had more conversations with people about God. Because if you listen, they're going to tell you their problems.
Yeah.
And while they're talking, just be sitting there praying.
Yeah.
You ain't got to be praying out loud. What are you doing? Well, you just keep talking. I'm praying. God's going to give me an answer for you. Hey, hold on. Speak less, listen more. How about putting your wants on second? How about doing some random acts of kindness? Without anybody knowing.